This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's a no new nukes Enviro Show. I am Dio, and I am not in the studio with...
And this is Glenn Ayers.
Yes, indeed. And from the historic heart of the anti-nuclear movement here in the Northeast USA, we thought we'd maybe drove a well-deserved stake into the heart of the corrupt nuclear industry and its followers long ago, but like vampires, some things keep coming back. Deb Katz of the Citizens Awareness Network returns to the show as we shine some daylight into the crypt. Well, here's quote of the week. I think it'll take us to our interview with Deb Katz. Quote, Flint is to the lead issue what Three Mile Island was to nuclear power. People are stepping back and thinking, there's still lead in my home? And that's from Dick Durbin, and he's referring to Flint, Michigan, where he represented for years. And there it is, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's still lead in everything, essentially, because it's still one of those metals that's being mined and smelted and released into the atmosphere, essentially by anything that's being burned, but especially during metal production. And I've been reading this great, great book, fascinating, called Murderland. And it is about the Seattle-Tacoma area and the number of smelters out there because of the geology along a very geologic active fault zone that created all of these metal-bearing formations. So they were mined, and this has been going on for more than 100 years. And during the, especially during World War II and the lead up, and then through the 50s and 60s and into the 70s, before there was any air pollution control devices, that area was so contaminated with heavy metals, especially lead, arsenic, chromium, zinc, a bunch of others, that the murder rate, the violent crime rate, doubled, tripled, quadrupled over that time period, because essentially everyone was poisoned. They did blood sampling of school kids and found that 90% of the school kids met the definition of lead poisoned. And this book is also fascinating because it ties in, this is known scientifically, that lead and heavy metal contamination causes behavior problems, especially violence and aggression. But the rape level and the serial murder level increased, and they tracked essentially all of the serial murderers that grew up in that region who then dispersed around the country. And it's just fascinating to see the science back up this idea that most of these serial killers grew up in the Seattle-Tacoma area during that time period. And the bottom line is, we've done this to ourselves. All of these things are a result of people essentially trading off the bottom line, obscene profits based on killing children and permanently impacting children's brain development. You know, it's permanent brain damage for the rest of their lives. And so, fascinating book called Murderland. If you want to read something that's kind of sciencey, kind of sociology, and, you know, very fascinating, check it out.
Kind of scary, I'd say. Okay, well, let's move on to our conversation with Deb and see everyone on the other end. Okay, Enviro Show listeners, Deb Katz returns to the Enviro Show. Deb of Citizens Awareness Network has been with us over the years talking about lots of nuclear issues. And now we hear that the governor of Massachusetts, Maura Healey, in her eternal wisdom, wants to revisit that. So, Deb, welcome back to the show. Let us know, let our listeners know what you're up to, and let's go.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for having me on. I mean, I was hoping I would never be on again. But the reality is, given what's going on in Massachusetts, and it's not just Massachusetts, it's all of New England, and in fact, it's across the country, there's this push by the nuclear industry to resurrect itself, and its new wet dream are small modular nukes. And what's happening is the nuclear industry is coupling up with the tech industry in terms of nukes and data centers, a really bad idea and a bad reality where it's taken place. So the industry's hope, since it's been going down the tubes for a while, no new nukes have been built, reactors are shutting. I mean, it's important to recognize that through grassroots organizing with CAN and other groups, 6 out of 9 reactors in New England shuttered and are down and are basically, at this point, one should remember, high-level nuclear waste dumps sitting on the banks of our waterways and really vulnerable to acts of malice and to the issues of climate disruption. And I create that context because I think that's important to look at, that the issues of dealing with nukes, even though people are sort of asleep to the issues at this point, and they like to be asleep, they're not done. They have broken their promises, the industry and the federal government, again and again. And here they come again, and they're trying to get New England governors to drink the Kool-Aid. And a number of them are. And one of them is our Governor Healey, but there's also Hochul in New York. And then there is Scott in Vermont, and New Hampshire is starting to look at this. The only state that has shown stiff back our own and sanity is Maine, which has already voted to reject any new nuke. They have a high-level waste dumps basically still in their state. So last year, and this is sort of the linchpin that allowed this sort of onslaught that is now moving fast, is that Governor Healey wanted to slip in terms of her plans for, you know, a clean energy future, which I think she wants to have implemented by the 2030s, she wanted to give the designation of clean to nuclear power. And we fought that. We raised it with legislators in a certain way. It slipped in. Many people thought, oh, what's the difference? It'll never happen. She's just doing this. But, you know, this has been a long-term plan of hers and really well executed. So in part, Healey wanted that clean designation because she was basically negotiating with the Connecticut Governor Lamont to get him to join with Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and the third state would be Connecticut to build wind turbines off the coast. And it seemed that Lamont was saying, well, buy into Millstone and Seabrook's power and we'll entertain it, because for the federal funds to come through, of course, this was before our blessed Trump got elected. The idea was that if there were 3 states that were involved, the project could go forward. Healey, in fact, signed on to this ludicrous deal to begin with, which in fact was a very bad idea. Dominion owns the Millstone reactors. They have suffered massive rate increases because of the subsidies the state of Connecticut gave to Dominion. And those have been passed along to us. So we are now subsidizing Dominion in Massachusetts for the mistake of Connecticut. That's one part of this. But in doing that and the clean designation, she was able to claim buying Dominion's power was actually helped her standards, which of course was a bold-faced lie. That was last year. But what it did was create the linchpin where we find ourselves now, which is, well, I should mention that what Healey did garner, besides massively high electric rates from Massachusetts residents, if you've noticed how your electric rates jumped this year, is she got a lot of donations from the nuclear industry. Ka-ching, ka-ching. And of course, that helps her in her reelection campaign. And she is very vulnerable at this moment, because electricity has gone up, insurance has gone up, gas has gone up, everything is sky high. And so what she has created is this sort of Christmas tree of gifts for all sorts of interest groups in the state. And a lot of the gifts are really good in terms of moving forward with renewables, conservation. There are things that are good in this bill, but in the middle of it is a poison pill. And the poison pill, until last week, basically, was hidden, because it wasn't in the legislation on energy that the Senate and the House was looking at. It was in the preamble to the energy bill. And in that preamble, she talks about, one, exploring bringing nuclear to Massachusetts, looking at SMRs, which are small modular reactors, none of which have been built yet and are basically experimental. And then, in an attempt to undermine democracy, she wants to repeal a 1982 act that was passed that required a referendum by the people of Massachusetts to determine if they wanted nukes ever built in their state again. And Healey, because she wants to expedite this Christmas tree of legislation, somehow wants to repeal that act because it will slow the process down. But even more importantly, are the chances are it will fail. Something like close to 70% of the population in 1982 voted in favor of this act. The other part of the act is that no reactor, no nuclear power can be considered in the state of Massachusetts until there is a permanent repository for the high-level waste. Now, the federal government and the nuclear industry have abdicated their responsibility to, in fact, create a repository for the most dangerous waste that they, and in a sense, we as Americans have ever created. This waste has to be separated from the environment for 10,000 years, and it will be dangerous for a million years. I mean, this is hard to conceive of. It's hard to imagine what kinds of signs you can put up in some place that people, even in 300 years, will understand. This waste is sitting at reactor sites. So when I talk about having high-level waste dumps around New England, this is this stranded high-level waste that is sitting on the banks of our waterways with no place to go, which is incredibly toxic. And to give you a sense of what's sitting there, because no one thinks about it because it's not doing anything seemingly at this moment. Yankee Row, the smallest commercial reactor in America, which is 4 miles from my home, has 40 million curies of high-level nuclear waste sitting in dry cast storage on the banks of the Deerfield River. A hospital has on hand to do all its radiological treatments, all its experiments, all of it, 2 to 5 curies a year. So when we're talking about 40 million curies, we're talking about a massive amount of dangerous, toxic waste that is vulnerable to acts of terrorism and vulnerable to climate disruption. And now Healey wants to add this poison pill in Massachusetts, and she has begun to fast track it. And so we began alerting people, contacting people, and trying to wake people up to the fact that this became deadly serious. So that was a lot to take in. And people may want to turn off their radios after this because it's too painful to consider. But I urge you not to, because we have to act today to ensure tomorrow is safe for people in the Commonwealth.
Hey, Deb, this is Glenn. It's great to have you back on the show to inject some nuclear reality into this picture. I mean, we talk on this show about climate reality and environmental reality. But the fact that Maura Healey now is promoting nukes, and that this is all being driven by the tech industry, and the fact that they need more and more energy to run artificial intelligence. And the reality that I was living in Pennsylvania when Three Mile Island melted down, although at the time they said everything was under control, but later it turned out that, that unit had melted down and the containment had been breached by the core. But it turned out that the operators of Three Mile Island were high school students. They didn't even have a college degree, and they were left running that nuke. They blamed it all on operator error. So now what the Healey administration wants to do is replace all that human error with artificial intelligence. And we know how useful that is. If you want to make stuff up, you can do it with artificial intelligence. But the fact that they're going to allow these small modular nuclear reactors to be run entirely by artificial intelligence, that just means that there'll be no one to blame. There'll be no one held responsible because it'll be artificial intelligence that's doing it. Talk about parasitic loads. AI is the greatest parasitic load on the entire electrical system. Yeah. And now the parasite is going to be running the energy supply. It's a dystopian future that we're staring at, with people like Maura Healey promoting this insane vision of the energy future in Massachusetts. I think people just need to know, and they need to scream. We need to open up our windows and scream out that we're not going to take this. Healey is not going to get reelected. She's certainly not going to get votes in Western Mass, because you know damn well, we know that any nukes that are going to be sited anywhere are going to be sited in Western Mass, where there are rivers, where there's cheap land, and a compliant population of environmental justice communities where they'd like to dump this stuff on. So I'm ranting about this, but it's just so upsetting to see someone who is supposedly intelligent, supposedly liberal, supposedly enlightened, promoting this kind of unbelievable insanity.
Look, she's a politician. And she's highly manipulative, and she's very good at presenting herself in a certain way. But she's in danger of losing an election, not on this basis, but just on the basis of the state of Massachusetts at this point. And it's very important to realize that the work that has to get done is about waking people up to the fact that this is taking place. Healey has been doing this undercover, purposely undercover, until a hearing this week. And most people don't hear about hearings, but there was a hearing this week in which it was acknowledged that they want to study small modular reactors. Three different bills on this. We have to give credit and acknowledgement to Joe Comerford for putting in legislation that, in fact, should be supported, that opposes not only what Healey is raising, but has introduced legislation to take away the clean status that was approved last session in the legislature, which would undermine any ability for Healey administration to move forward on this. But this is an onslaught that is going on throughout the country, at the point where nuclear power is at a nadir. And now with this connection, and I think it's not just that AI will run the reactors. I mean, look, one of the things at Three Mile Island is no one knew what the hell to do. it wasn't just the workers in terms of what they were doing, didn't know what to do. The Atomic Energy Commission came in there and didn't know what to do. It was chaos because they were ignorant in terms of coping with this. And it was a meltdown. But look, I want to speak for something which I feel is really important in this, because we're always left out. I live in an impacted community, and no one asks me what it's like to deal with a nuclear neighbor. No one asks an impacted community what it's like to have your land, your air, your water, all of it controlled by a corporation that basically is using your sacred land as a waste dump for its toxic waste. And these are company towns, you have to understand. And they are the town, and they are the company that in many ways not just controls the town. Yankee Atomic didn't just control Roe, it controlled the Deerfield River Valley. It had a profound effect on Greenfield, on all the surrounding area. Franklin County is the sixth poorest county in New England. It was not by accident that we were chosen for this first experimental nuke. And you're right, the chances are that when they build more, and they're talking about not just putting a couple of SMRs up, they're talking about putting massive amounts of them up in this state, as if that is going to be some hedge against our having to burn candles in the future, which is completely ludicrous. If the money was put into renewables, it was put into storage, we wouldn't be in this muck and mire with a politician who's terrified of losing an election. And with a populace, and this is true for all of us, you know, I'm a nuclear activist. I didn't wish to be one, but I became one because my community was under attack. But one of the things that Kant says is we wake people up in a world that wants us to stay asleep. And so Healy is trying to keep people asleep at this point. So all of it passes, like the clean energy designation passed last time, because people won't know what's happening until it's too late. And we have this opportunity. It is not an easy one. We are up against, you know, a machine that is moving forward at breakneck speed in ways at this point. And if we don't speak up now, if we don't contact our legislators, if we don't contact our mayors, if we don't contact this, you know, it goes all the way down. This Christmas tree legislation in many ways is really groovy. And a lot of groups will want to sign on to it. And we want them to sign on to it, except to say that poison pill in the center of this legislation is unacceptable. We want the other parts of it, but we do not want you to repeal that act. And we do not want you to even entertain the notion dealing with more nukes when you haven't even solved the first generation of nukes that are stuck at reactor sites in and surrounding Massachusetts. So there is legislation that people can contact their legislators about. If you have friends in Lexington, in Concord, because that's where the chair of these committees are, it would be really important to get them to contact Senator Barrett and House Speaker Cusick, because they wield a lot of power in this. You've got to understand, Western Massachusetts doesn't have a lot of power. The eastern part of the state dealing with Pilgrim is up against this as well, but we don't ourselves have the power to defeat this. We have to get to the people who will never be affected, who will never be screwed like my community was screwed with increases, statistical significance in breast cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, multiple myeloma, a tenfold increase in children with Down syndrome, high rates of learning disabilities, high rates of disabled children. They are not going to be affected the way my community has been, and Pilgrim, and in fact, Concord has been with nuclear metals. And because our suffering is invisible and nuclear waste is invisible, they can get away with murder, and they do, and it has to stop. We are just part of a chain of human sacrifice in this terrible, invisible toxicity, because we're not the only ones. There's mining, there's milling, there's the waste sites, the low level, which is pejorative, waste sites where people have suffered, besides the high level waste with no place to go. This is a chain of sacrifice, and it has to be broken. We broke it in Massachusetts and much of New England, and our job is to not let them put the chain together again.
There it is. And after our interview, we'll give you, EnviroShow listeners, the numbers and names of those bills that are before up in Beacon Hill as they speak.
Yes, yeah, very important to in fact, support Joe Comerford's legislation. And there are a series of House bills that Dio and Glenn can give you that purport to support the initiation of studies on SMRs and nuclear power.
You know, Deb, this reminds me, unfortunately, this discussion or this situation reminds me a lot of how industry tried to hide the fact that lead was poisonous and arsenic, you know, and the outfall from smelters were poisoning entire communities, especially out in the Pacific Northwest, Tacoma, you know, that area around Seattle. And the fact that there were entire generations of people that suffered, especially children, because they're highly susceptible to brain damage from lead exposure at an early age. And yet for decades and decades, the corporations continued to make money. They essentially traded increased profits for poisoning communities and poisoning generations, even though at the same time, you know, and this is when we were younger, people were being exposed constantly to leaded gasoline, which was, you know, considered to be safe. It was a safe additive. And the situation with nukes, like you said, it is essentially, I'm going to say, maybe people would disagree with me, it is essentially unregulated. There is so little public involvement, so little regulation. The NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, is a rubber stamp entity, you know, and so is FERC, for that matter, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. They're all just rubber stampers. They're industry-paid lobbyists who run those organizations, or whatever you want to call them. And they're fake. You know, they're fake regulatory organizations. They're there to prop up the industry. And we have a governor who was elected because we were really sick of the previous loser, Charlie Baker. And now we have someone who is really looking like a clone of Charlie Baker when it comes to the nuclear issue. And people need to know that this is so outrageous, and that we have to stand up to Maura Healey's BS and tell her there is no way that this is going to happen in Massachusetts, or you're going to feel the repercussions of this. And I'm going to say that, you know, we need to join in acts of disruption. If Maura Healey comes out to Western Mass, we need to meet her head on and disrupt every event that she tries to schedule and turn it into a spectacle, because she needs to be called out on this.
I agree. I think that would be, but, you know, will she show her face out here? Lots of luck, in fact, or it will be a completely controlled event. But look, the difference between Healey and Baker is, in fact, substantial. Baker wasn't that smart. Healey is really clever and manipulative, and she should not be underestimated in terms of the weight she can pull and how she can get her way. Mm. We should not underestimate her as someone to take on. She orchestrated a really successful way of moving this forward. So here we are at this point trying to wake people up across the state when they're trying to pass these legislation when, you know, there was almost no hint of it except with her changing the designation to clean nuclear, which was a year ago. This has come really far in a very short time, and she's hidden it from the public, and she wants to ensure that the public cannot have a say in what kind of energy they want to drive their future. This really, we have to act today, not just to save tomorrow, but to change tomorrow. Because if Healy gets her hands on it, you know, we are really sunk.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Well, as we said on a previous show, a few shows ago, when we first brought up this issue, this is a form of tyranny, and we really need to resist it. And resistance is what makes a difference, and people need to scream about this one.
Yeah, this is a meltdown in democracy.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, Deb, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for raising the alarm.
You're welcome.
Thanks for still, unfortunately, or whatever, still sticking with this issue, the nuke issue, for so long, just forever. And we really appreciate everything that you have to say and the level of activism and commitment that you've shown over these decades opposing the nuclear juggernaut.
Exactly.
Well, thank you.
Well, it's great to have Deb back on the show. And I want to remind EnviroShow listeners to go to the blog, and right at the very top, you will see a link to the legislation we've been talking about with regards to the governor's new nuclear dreams, I guess. I don't know what else you'd call it. Go to the top of the blog and click on Citizens Awareness Network and the link below it, Daylight into the Crypt. And there you'll see all the legislation that we support and that we oppose around the gov's nuclear dreams.
Yeah, boy, what a disappointment Maura Healy is. And hopefully if she shows up anywhere in Western Mass, people let her know essentially what a loser she's going to be if she runs for re-election. Certainly she's not going to get votes from Western Mass.
And this is Dio saying, oh, wait, there's something I've forgotten, Glenn.
Yeah, just to remember to listen to your mother.
That's right. Okay, I'll try to remember that. This is Dio saying adios.
And I'm Glenn Ayers. And remember, folks, get out and enjoy nature and get active.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.